This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Tribe.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning in.
Today we have a great interview where we welcome back April Eldemeyer, and she is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She has been working with couples in a private practice for almost a decade and has been featured as an expert in the field of couples therapy and relationship satisfaction on the Gottman Institute, Psychology Today, and Brides Magazine.
And April and Sarah and I get into how to recognize and deal with a one-sided relationship. So a lot of value in today's show, even if you don't feel like you're in a one-sided relationship, just certain skills and ways to check in with yourself and the relationship to see if your expectations are met, if your expectations are even realistic, and based on the answers to those questions, dealing with that with your partner.
So as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in and sharing the podcast with your friends and family. If you haven't checked out our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge on the website, please do so. We send you a daily email for 2 weeks with easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. So we hope you guys check it out and enjoy today's episode. Before we jump into today's interview, we want to tell you about our online course, Spark My Relationship. Do you guys want to create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days?
Yes. Sign me up.
Then you guys need to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. It is an online course, like I mentioned, that we created with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you guys the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients.
We talk about it on the show. Relationships take work. Sometimes they function pretty easily and you coast along, but we've found the reality is you have to do work sometimes and to make them better, to change them so that they're more satisfying for both partners.
And you've made it here. You've made it to listening to our show. So you guys probably already know that a little bit. But what you might not know are the specific tools and exercises that you need to create those lasting and positive improvements in your relationship. And like Chase said, change does not happen on its own. It takes hard work. And that's why we created the course.
Spark My Relationship is designed to infuse your life and relationship with fresh passion, skills, and wisdom. And it's a self-paced journey that's perfect for turning up the heat, having some fun together, and revolutionizing your intimacy and communication.
And just some tools and strategies that the course includes is to how to eliminate unhelpful old habits, develop mindful awareness to help improve your stress management, learn healthy and successful communication tools, create a deeper and more intimate bond, and strengthen your couple microculture, which you will find out what that is. In the future together. So for our listeners only, we're offering a special of $100 off the course. Visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to unlock your discount. And there is a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there really is no reason to not give it a try. So go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock for $100 off. Hi, April. Thanks so much for joining us back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about the recognition that you may be in a one-sided relationship. And obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you have some kind of interest in improving your relationship, and maybe your partner doesn't have that same kind of interest, and that can feel pretty lonely. And whether it's wanting to improve the relationship or just a general reciprocity across the board, it's got to be a really tough place. So you're going to help us and our listeners navigate that kind of situation today. So let's start by having you tell our listeners how you maybe see this in action and some ways that we can cope with it.
Okay, sure. So the definition of a one-sided relationship is a relationship that lacks balance and equitable reciprocity. So have you ever been in a relationship where you feel completely alone? Your partner could be physically present and in the room with you, but you feel emotionally neglected or unseen. You know, this happens far too often. I see it happen far too often. And it's really a giver-taker relationship. And it makes it really impossible to have a fair and balanced one. You know, one partner is the one that's giving and the other partner is the one happily taking it all in without giving you anything in return. It's exhausting to be in this kind of relationship, and one person shouldn't have to be carrying the relationship along in almost every area. So some signs that you could be in a one-sided relationship. The first sign is you do the majority of the work. You do things for them, but you don't get a lot back in return. And it's important to notice if your partner is actually doing the things that you've been asking of them or that you want from them, but they're doing it for their benefit and they're not doing it out of unconditional terms. You know, you compensate for most things in the relationship. You make maybe excuses for their behavior. You might justify their selfishness by saying things like, oh, they're just going through a rough patch, or, you know, they're just in a rut, or they're just having a bad day. And this rough patch can actually be prolonged and pretty constant. So that's one marker that it's not just an isolated incident or moment of the relationship. And so you can really, in this way, be enabling their behavior. You know, you're seeing sometimes your partner for their potential rather than for who they are. Yeah, I mean, just to go along with the same vein, you hide or sugarcoat the relationship with other people too. You know, you could be the one that's always repairing or apologizing. You feel like you're tiptoeing around them, and you know, you may have tried to speak to them before about your needs and they're either dismissed or they make excuses, or they might say you're being overly dramatic or irrational. So you don't ever get your needs met. And over time, this can build resentment and you can start to see the relationship in a negative way.
So obviously there's a lot to unpack here, and there's a lot of different situations where it can be one-sided. So what would you tell someone who's, there's someone listening and they're really identifying with this and saying, yeah, for sure, check the boxes on all these things that they are carrying the burden in the relationship. How can they start to address this with their partner?
Well, I think the first step is to get honest with yourself. You know, be honest about the person that you are in the relationship with. Do their behaviors display an equal partnership? Are they equally engaged in the relationship? Are they actively contributing to making things grow and flourish? You know, make sure you do a relationship inventory and also get clear about your boundaries. That's really significant here. What boundaries are consistent with the way that you want to feel loved by the other person? And what behaviors are consistent with you being a loving partner that not only honors you, your time, and your resources, but gives you the equal one, you know, the equality in the relationship that you're looking for? Are you being true to yourself, you know, while also giving to the relationship? Or are you just sacrificing yourself? And staying consistent and communicating about your needs and expectations is really important to your partner to do.
So we want to talk about how we can communicate those needs. But first, I'm wondering, how can we identify if our expectations are realistic?
That's a good question. I think your expectations have to be met in the context of the relationship, meaning, you know, how do you feel loved? How do you communicate love? What makes you feel like an equal partner in the relationship? This might be unique to every relationship. it's also a great conversation to have to set expectations and see if they're able to be met or not by your partner. So are they feasible or are they unrealistic? You know, it might not be feasible to have your expectation met 100% of the time, but setting boundaries in a relationship is actually extremely healthy and it's encouraged. You need boundaries for yourself, but you also need boundaries with your partner. So that's a conversation that I think couples should actively and proactively engage in, especially if they're coming into a relationship, in a new relationship, a starter one, to make sure that the two are on the same page and they have shared goals and shared expectations in mind.
So it seems like the best way to do it is collaboratively. So rather than saying, here's what I expect and kind of making demands, it's more just going within, thinking about what we want and need, and then saying, communicating that with our partner and being like, hey, can we meet halfway here kind of thing?
Yeah. And if you're not feeling like that's happening or you feel that it's imbalanced, you know, your partner might just be maybe neglectful of the relationship, or, you know, they might be taking it for granted at times. We can do that, especially if we're in a long-term relationship. So checking in with the relationship aspect and feeling how satisfied are you in the relationship is an important thing to kind of always check in with yourself about, and then make sure the relationship is meeting your expectations and your needs, and that it is, like you said, collaborative.
Let's say we go within, we have this conversation, but, and that's a valuable one, but let's say you've already had the conversation and you feel like your needs are still not being met. It's very one-sided. How can we talk to our partner about trying to make that better?
So the hard truth is that even if you've taken your relationship inventory and you've said, you know, financially, I might want the expectation to have the relationship split in half in terms of money and what we're contributing, or parenting, you know, maybe there's an expectation that one parent takes more of the burden for a period of time while the other is going to school or working full time. And so these are some of the expectations that you might have in a relationship to feel like it's a fluid ebb and flow and a give and take equally and mutually. And if you've communicated those things and you've said, these are the things that I'm looking for, can you meet this need or this expectation that I have, and you're continually dismissed, or it's completely overlooked, or your partner blames you or points the finger and says, well, you know, this is unreasonable, or you're asking too much of me, or, you know, you're not giving me something in return, then it might be time to evaluate how happy you are in the relationship. And that might be a hard question to ask, because the end result might be that the relationship may not work. But before you get there, it's really important to have a conversation with your partner about what's lacking and what your expectations are.
Do you generally find that in those types of situations where the one person is then questioning their happiness, that they're typically the ones that are not fulfilling their partner's needs because maybe they've, like you said, taken advantage or kind of just maybe checked out?
The partner that isn't giving unhappy because they feel like they're falling short?
Yeah.
I mean, if a partner is constantly giving and they're not getting anything in return, they do start to develop low self-esteem. You start to think poorly about yourself. You start to think, you know, maybe I'm not the right person for this, for my partner. Maybe I'm not meeting their expectations. You know, maybe I'm falling short. Maybe I'm not good enough. And if you're constantly experiencing guilt or resentment, shame or embarrassment about, you know, taking on too much responsibility that you had to and feel that it wasn't reciprocated, you get burned out. You start feeling bad about yourself and empty about yourself. And it's really time to maybe take a moral inventory of how you're feeling and what you're looking for in a relationship. And if you're unfulfilled, then and nothing changes, then that's a big concern for how your relationship would sustain long term.
You mentioned checking in and having like what I would say is like a hard conversation with yourself of like, am I really happy in this relationship? And that comes with all of our expectations and where those come from. How can we think about that question of like, how happy should we be in a relationship? Does that make sense?
Right. You know, you don't want to second guess what's really occurring in the relationship and how serious it might be, right? Whether it's circumstantial or whether, again, we go back to, am I being unrealistic here? And that goes back to looking at the relationship as a whole. You know, how long have you been feeling like your needs have been unmet? How clear have you been about expressing your needs? How receptive has your partner been to hearing them? Do they give with a selfish intent? Are they asking things of you and gladly taking and not asking you or checking in with how you're doing? You know, if you're thinking about yourself more than the other person, this might be a sign that you could be the selfish partner here. You know, if you're not actively supporting them or your partner's not actively supporting you, then check in with yourself about how, you know, how you're showing up in the relationship as an equal partner should be. You know, are you asking how you're meeting their needs or their expectations? Another really interesting sign is vulnerability. You know, if your partner's not vulnerable with you, like you need them to be, or they're only vulnerable with you if it's convenient for them, then there's no emotional intimacy to be had there. It's just kind of, again, that one-sided feeling of a relationship that lacks the connection and the bond that you need to have long-term to make it work and to make both of you happy. If one's happy and the other's not, then that's, again, not a balanced relationship. You know, that's a then maybe superior, inferior dynamic, so to speak. And maybe it's an unconscious kind of representation of the relationship overall. But that could then be what the dynamic of the relationship looks like.
How would you walk through having a couple have a conversation about if one person feels that the other person isn't being vulnerable in the relationship?
I mean, the first thing I would suggest is writing some thoughts down and writing out what your expectations are. A collaborative conversation isn't about saying you always or you never or pointing the finger. It's really about staying true to you and speaking from your own perspective. And the conversation could go like this. You know, I've really been feeling emotionally neglected for this amount of time. I've been feeling unseen by you. I've been feeling as though we're not connecting on a deeper level. I feel like maybe our contributions are off, and I want to talk about how I can feel better and how you can meet the expectations without feeling as though they're unrealistic, and how I can meet your needs better too, because maybe I'm lacking in that area. And you're making the conversation about the relationship, but you're also speaking from the heart. If your partner gets on the defense, especially if you're using that approach, or they're dismissive, or you know, they might be shutting down, that's a lack of a vulnerable moment to have with your partner, and they might not be equipped to be emotionally engaged in the conversation and to give you that emotional balance that you're looking for. And then if that's the case, you know, you've done all you can. And that's the hard truth of it.
How do you sit with that? Or then, and then like, what's the next move? Not just with that conversation, but let's just say it's an initial conversation of, hey, I'm feeling, you know, someone's identifying with being in a one-sided relationship. They're listening to the show. They're like, hey, I want to not confront, but talk to my partner about this in a productive way. And it kind of just, they're met with defensiveness and maybe aggression, and it's just not a good conversation, then what next?
That's a really tough question. The next step might be seeking help. It might be reaching out for a counselor who can guide the conversation so that the two of you can feel heard and understood. You know, there might be some ineffective communication dynamics that have been happening in the relationship for a period of time as well. You have two different conflict styles coming together, and a conversation that is a tough conversation or uncomfortable to have, we can kind of lock up and do what we need to do to get ourselves back in balance. And sometimes that might be getting defensive. Sometimes that might be shutting down. And that's a typical dynamic flaw of a relationship, but it's a learned behavior. So sometimes seeking a couples therapist would be really helpful to have both of you speak freely and from the heart and have some guidance and a safe space to be able to communicate about what you're needing.
Before we continue on, we want to tell you about today's sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
We mention it a lot on the show, but therapy is really one of the best things you can do as an individual and potentially as a couple to improve your personal life and your relationships.
And BetterHelp connects you with a professional counselor in a safe and online environment. You can communicate with your therapist via text, chat, phone, and video. And there are over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states who specialize in relationships, depression, stress, anxiety, self-esteem, anger, trauma, and many more areas.
Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. BetterHelp is secure, convenient, and professional.
And best of all, you can start communicating with a therapist in less than 48 hours. We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/I do. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/I do. Today's episode is also brought to you by MetPro. Do you want to improve your health, but you're just not quite sure where to start? With thousands of health strategies available to us, identifying which one works for you and your body is difficult. But according to MetPro, the key to seeing results is to master your metabolism. At MetPro, your metabolism isn't some mystery. It's a data point. Armed with hard science, MetPro is your health concierge, delivering one-on-one coaching and personalized nutrition and fitness regimens. It's not just about weight loss. MetPro's coaches provide busy professionals, athletes, weekend warriors, and everyone in between with the support and education they need to live a healthier life. MetPro's team of experts has worked with the most recognizable names in sports, entertainment, and business. They've helped thousands of individuals transform their bodies by hacking their metabolism. Recently, they launched a new tool that allows you to experience the same science and tailored strategies that their experts use. This isn't just a food logging tool or a workout app. The MetPro app allows you to start tracking, analyzing, and learning what your metabolism responds to best. If you're looking for a high-touch experience working with a metabolic expert, or if you want access to the tools their industry-leading coaches use, visit metpro.co/I do to take their assessment and speak to their team and learn which options are best for you. Listeners will also get up to 1 month free when they sign up. Head to metpro.co/I do to take advantage of this opportunity today.
Is it ever okay to be in a somewhat one-sided relationship? I'm just thinking of my grandmother, and I love her to death, and my grandfather unfortunately has passed, but they had a very in my opinion, on the outside, just one-sided relationship. Like, she was the classic, housewife type and just kind of at his service. But she's one of the happiest people I know then and now. And obviously, I don't know all the details of their 50 or 60 year marriage. But anyways, can you speak a little bit to different dynamics that might appear to be one-sided from the outside?
It sounds like that relationship worked for your grandparents. And so if it's working for you and one is, you know, typically, you know, genuinely more selfless and more of the giving partner, and the other is more of the taker, that actually might work. I would also say too that check in with how one-sided you feel over the long haul. And so what I mean by that is a relationship ebbs and flows and has different seasons where one partner needs to pick up the other person's slack, whether it's a job loss and the other person has to financially contribute or provide for the family, whether it's a partner who chooses to go back to school and the other partner needs to step in and take care of the kids more so than they would have before. That is a fair and reasonable one-sided relationship for a period of time. And that's an mutually agreed upon dynamic that the relationship has in that season. But if that season becomes grueling and it becomes a long winter and it's cold and damp and dark, then that might be a time where you reevaluate and say, this isn't working for me or for our relationship. And that goes back to expectations that you're setting right at the beginning so that there's nothing lost on you and you don't slip into this dynamic and it stays long-term and you end up becoming really resentful and bitter over time.
These are important questions to ask ourselves. And I feel like it can be easy for people to just slip into these roles, and especially in a long-term relationship, and it's one-sided and maybe only one area, but over time, it could be better for you. But because it's sometimes a little bit harder to rock the boat, in a sense, you just kind of stay in your lane. And before you know it, it's 5 years later and you're still unhappy with how this even one area is one-sided. But it's like, well, you never addressed it and you are enabling your partner, maybe.
Exactly. And that happens far too often. You know, maybe stuffing it down or the inability to express yourself or to even know what you need. You know, it's really important to check in with yourself too and say, you know, I deserve to have my needs met in this relationship also. You know, I don't want to be a punching bag. I don't want to be bulldozed here. And so I think that the enabling of the one-sided relationship can absolutely be common and something that you can fall trap into in a relationship pretty easily. But that conversation that you not only have with yourself about what kind of relationship you want to be in, but you have that conversation with each other right from the beginning. And if it's not working for you and over time, you start to feel very alone. I said this, you know, in the beginning, you could be physically present with each other, but feel so alone, so lonely in your relationship. I don't know anybody who would be equipped to handle that long-term without feeling really empty and really low about the relationship and about themselves. So if you're starting to think more negative thoughts about the relationship or more negative thoughts about your partner, you know, that's really important to face and to address.
You mentioned earlier in the show about taking a relationship inventory and thinking about our expectations. What are some questions we can ask ourselves when taking a relationship inventory?
I would start with your own definition of happiness for yourself. You know, in a relationship, in my experience, maybe looking at family upbringing, what was I shown? What did I see And what did I experience that made me happy in a relationship? It might be about emotional contribution. So being vulnerable with each other on a really intimate level and carving out that time and that space to connect and to bond with each other. And that might be just enough. That might be the only ingredient that one person needs, and they might contribute more in every other way. And that's okay. So there might be other expectations too. It might not be just that one. It might be that money is a really big piece of security for you. You know, financial security might be really important to you. And if you're the one that's financially providing or propping up the relationship in all of the monetary ways and your partner's not contributing anything, then that is a very unstable feeling for that person to be in a relationship with. So I would look at all of the big items of connection, of intimacy, of finances, of parenting. And you know, partners can also be selfish when you're physically intimate too. So sometimes emotional and sexual needs go hand in hand. And if that's really important to you too, then you might always be, you might be giving in almost every area of the relationship. So I think it's looking at the really big components of a relationship and seeing what makes you fulfilled, what makes you feel connected to your partner, what makes you feel like you have good thoughts about how you feel in the relationship and how the two of you operate in the relationship that you're in.
These are super important questions to ask ourselves. And it's interesting, as you were saying that, because it's taking ownership of your own happiness, really. It's like you want your partner to make you happy, but first you need to understand what makes you happy. Because you can't expect them to just do it automatically, and certainly without communicating that. So I think this is a very important exercise, even if you don't feel like you're in a one-sided relationship. You just want to make your relationship better.
Absolutely. I love that. Taking ownership of yourself and your happiness and your expectations, and knowing that you deserve those things too, just as much as you give and want to please. You also need to be pleased, and you also need to feel loved.
Well, April, there's so much value in today's show, and we appreciate you so much for coming back on and sharing this with our listeners. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online, and if there's anything that we maybe skipped over or that you didn't share that you want to leave with our listeners?
Sure. I have a private practice in Fort Lauderdale. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and people who want resources on relationship advice and just tips and tools and strategies to keep their relationship happy and healthy can go to my website at couples-thrive.com, where you can sign up for my tip sheet and get weekly tips and pointers in there. I also do a bringing baby home workshop for new parents who are transitioning into parenthood for the first time. And I have some popular blog posts, and I also blog for really popular networks like the Gottman Institute and Psychology Today and Brides Magazine. So you can look at my really popular blogs and just check out my website for more information.
Wonderful. We'll have the links to all those resources you just mentioned, including your website, on our website and in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was so nice.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, guys. As always, the links will be in the podcast description as well as on the show notes on our website at idopodcast.com. And while you're on our website, we hope you guys check out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. It's a challenge where we send you a daily email for 14 days with easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And it's honestly just a whole lot of fun to do with your partner. It's something new, and we think you guys will really enjoy it. So check it out. And while you're on the website, There are tons of free resources, as well as more information about our online course, Spark My Relationship, where our listeners can get $100 off. So check that out. You can go directly to the course website at sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. And that's where you can get the $100 off. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.